Okay, so I'm sitting here with Kirsten. Kirsten is a very experienced senko in primary education. She works across three small primary schools, and we've agreed to have a chat around her experience in social emotional development in relation to the National Curriculum Assessment Review. And there were lots of questions around what would need to change in regard to the members' children who are struggling to access that curriculum and getting excluded. So, yes, Kirsten, just say a little bit about your role and experience and what we were just discussing around the structure of how social emotional development is tracked in your experience.
My role is, as you say, across three schools of very different sizes, from kind of 60 up to 180. The issues I see would be the same across all schools, which is that there is a huge increase in apparent need in social emotional mental health areas where children are really struggling, but there only appears to be a kind of acknowledged assessment of that in reception. So nursery and reception are very much focused on the whole person and developing that in all areas of the whole person. But once they hit year one, and at that point, it's all very much based around cognition and learning. All the assessment data is on cognition and learning, which I think doesn't meet the needs of the citizens of tomorrow anyway, and hasn't for a long time. Because we are so much more than our ability in maths and English, and that is basically what we're assessed on.
What schools are
So
yeah,
we
sure.
are finding, absolutely. We're finding more and more that children are really struggling with emotional resilience, with their general regulation. So children are commonly becoming, and so in a class, there's a good kind of quarter in most classes, I would say now, who really struggle to manage their emotions in relation to situations, be that through getting very upset about it, or through exploding in angry outbursts, or saying things that they later regret. So it's just that it's that general, really clear appearance that they are struggling to manage their emotions. And I have numerous conversations with parents nearly every week where they are struggling with those behaviours at home, and really at a loss as to where to go for support, because they don't feel there is anything to access in terms of support. So they
No,
often come to
understanding.
school for us to provide them with advice and support on how to put in those structures in place. Because I think in a lot of those children in school tend to function better because it's so routinized and structured in school. When they're at home, they can sometimes struggle with the lack of boundary and routine. But I think all of that stems from their inability to manage their emotions and to understand their emotions. A lot of the language has been lost around labeling emotions as well. So children use terms like I've got anxiety, or I've got ADHD, or all sorts of kind of labels for things that they're feeling, but they don't really know what's behind those
What the
labels. They've
feeling
just
is.
heard the terms,
Can I just
assume.
ask you,
Or I'm depressed that
You described that in EYFS, there are four strands that they assess, so very much the whole childhood. Could you just say what those four were?
I would need to check if that's the accurate what's used across, but I think, hang on a second, let me just have that open. So this is from the early years development journal they've got. So I'm not a reception teacher, so I would need to you need to clarify this. But on here, I've got four main strands, which are personal, social, and emotional is one strand. Communication is another strand. Physical is the third strand, and thinking is the fourth. So of those, we've got the physical kind of gross and fine motor skill development, and the thinking, which is the cognition and learning, which are focused on, I think, all through key stage one and two. But the personal, social, emotional isn't at all, apart from through PSHE. It's taught in PSHE, but that's it. That's 1 hour a week. And in communication, that's very much the kind of social side, but the kids need loads more time on those areas.
And you were
And
saying before we came on the
that's
call that so your reception staff will be doing that assessment. That assessment, you've got that assessment data. So we were going to have a look, pull it out to see it. But you've got children who are not achieving those levels at when they leave reception. But from what you understood, you're saying there is no system then for picking up the fact that they haven't achieved it because it moves into a tracking just of the kind of academic goals. Is that am I right with that? Is that
Yes, there's certainly no sort of rigorous process for that. There would be internal processes within schools which are different in every setting, where you would pick up on that, not so much from the assessment, but in particular from worries about that child in class. So then it's a process of deciding whether you pursue support for that child through an educational psychologist or through a specialist advisory teacher in reception, because they've got general skills, so they're quite helpful. Or more and more schools have been encouraged to have ELSAs, so emotional literacy support assistants who are trained and under supervision from the educational psychologist. Most schools I know now have at least one ELSA, a teaching assistant who's taken on this work as extra. And the list for the ELSA is huge, absolutely huge, for teachers basically saying, I'm really concerned about this child. The ELSA can, so we have 2 afternoons of ELSA a week from this year we've started it. And we've already got a massive waiting list because now that the service is there, lots of teachers are saying, well, actually, we've got all these children in class who really
Because
need this support.
the teacher wouldn't see it as part of their brief to do that as part of their embedded curriculum. I mean, certainly when I was teaching, you would see it as part of that development of children's ability to get on with each other and develop emotional language. It would have been seen in my beginning of my teaching career to as what you would expecting to do, really. I don't think we had formal structures to, it was just kind of understood that we were helping children be able to be steady and functioning before they left primary school was the sort of
It's
idea, really, I suppose.
exactly. It's touched on all the time. So the PSLG framework has been around for ages. So it's touched on regularly, but actually giving a child the ability to sit one to one or in a small group with an adult and just talk through their feelings or what their struggles are and help them through modelling and work in small groups, develop their ability to work socially with other people. You don't get that at all in a class setting because you haven't got the capacity to work with the small groups in the same way.
Because you've
So
got so many other directives, I suppose, because of what. So
And
if
you'll
you
think
have
lots of these, so I was just going to say as well, because so many parents now are both working as well, I think there's less and lots of children in clubs, they just have less time to talk to an adult about how they're feeling.
absolutely.
And that's nobody's fault. That's just how it's become. And the curriculum is so squeezed that teachers struggle to just have a nice chat, with each child individually and check how they are. And it's that sort of side of it I think we're missing.
So, and I was sort of quite taken aback because even with a child with EHCP, there's no formal method of saying, well, here we are, this child actually may be functioning of, say more 3, 4 rather than 8, 9. We're kind of saying it intuitively. You would say, well, kind of best guess is sort of this, but we're not, there's no sort of formal thing of thinking, okay, well, if they're emotionally functioning at 3 to 4, what sort of curriculum do they need? So that seems to be completely absent, even when you're putting in a pretty expensive, support plan. And there's no plan to support parents with the skills that they might need to bring that development up. It's just sort of a containment, often it seems like.
Well, within because the HCPs are always split into 4 areas of need, it's touched on within the HCP, but it's not often in great detail unless it's an SEMH need, and then there'll be more. The pivots that's used by Lancashire, they have created an emotional strand now for that for children, but that's meeting the needs of the children who are at least 3 years behind academically. So I think this is the difficulty that you could use that for other children, but there's so many children now in every class that are struggling with their emotions that you couldn't realistically use that in a meaningful way. I know this problem's in secondary because I've taught my sister's in a secondary school, and she said the same thing about there being no assessment for emotional development in secondary, which often, as you've said, these problems us in very early on and just continue if there's no intention.
Because there's no time and there's no statutory requirement to do it, but you've got loads of other statutory requirements that you have got to do on which you're being assessed. So if you had, they're asking for ideas, right? So if you had a magic wand and in order to respond to the sheer numbers of children that you're describing in each of these schools that you're working with, to really meet that social emotional need, because I mean, I suppose I'm taking it as read that those are the children who struggle in the classroom. They'll have challenging behaviour. They have perhaps attendance difficulties as it moves on. It's challenging for all the other children as well as the teacher. But it's at a, such a scale. Like, what would you want to see coming out of an effective, meaningful change of the curriculum for schools like
Well, I
this?
think, as you say, in terms of raising the status of emotional development, the easiest way to do that is to make it part of an assessment. It doesn't need to be huge. It doesn't need to be, a kind of a formal. It could easily be something that's less formal. But if you look at the personal, social, and emotional strand within the early years goals, that takes you through. Each one has a step which is related to an age, and I know in America there's quite a few. I've seen some published documents where they've carried on that strand to show you what a 6-year-old might look like, what a 7-year-old might look like, if they're functioning successfully with emotional development. So having that as a something to be sort of mindful of with each child and able to pinpoint areas for development would be really good, I think.
So if schools had that as a requirement to assess it, my sense is that it would shift everybody's mind into, well, how do we bring those skills up? And what, I suppose it would only work if you've got some ability to also take off some of the other pressures in terms of where you
Absolutely.
prioritize it.
Yes.
Is it the lost bottom of the pile in terms of underneath history and, English, or is it top of the pile and English and, we hope assume that's going to follow on once we get that right,
Well, I think the prime, I know it's an issue in secondary, but I feel like if we could nail it in primary, it wouldn't be an issue in secondary.
No.
And if it was more of a focus in primary, it wouldn't be an issue in secondary.
Yes. Yes.
So I almost feel like all of the sort of deep dive stuff within primary for the foundation subjects is to me personally, has less a value for the whole person
Yes.
becoming part of society and contributing effectively and thriving in
Yes.
themselves and flourishing.
Yes, I
But
agree.
this is way more important.
Yeah.
So it,
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's we've now got lots of young people in secondary who've not got those skills, so it would be quite, ideally you'd want to have some sort of call and catch, but it's much more, it's easier. I agree with you. Primary should be the place where that was the prime, a prime thing that schools could be, think about their practice to develop those competencies. And I think it would help young people and teachers if that was made of. I think it's just, I feel it's an unintentional oversight. I genuinely feel that somehow it's so crazy that it's not happening. It feels like nobody would intentionally miss this thing out. It's
No,
just.
I think our society has just changed. If you look at the curriculum, it's changed marginally over the years, but our society has changed fundamentally.
Yes,
And
yes.
this is why I think this needs to change as well.
Yes, yeah. Well, I know you're busy and lots of stuff, but I'm sure we could keep talking. It would be really great if you actually had some of that specifics data, if you can find any, but you could drop me a line if you do. But even just the basic principles, I think, are just incredibly important to sort of spell it out what's actually happening, because I don't think people realise that's what's happening.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Gosh, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, no problem. It's something I'm very passionate about because I feel like we've been watching this happen and
Yeah, it's
deteriorate
like
for
watching a
years.
slow car crash, isn't it? It's just, yeah, absolutely. And it's devastating at every part of society. Yeah, it is.
Absolutely.
Let's hope they listen. Okay.
Okay,
Hope
thanks.
to have in touch.
Keep
Thank you so
talking.
much. Thank you.
Okay,
Bye.
bye.
Bye.